No, praise God. It's good to be here tonight and just enjoying just the passion. You know, it's one thing to come into a church and sing nice songs, but nice really doesn't cut it in the days that we live. And the thing that I've really been sensing in my spirit over these last months really is really God stirring up his people to come back with passion, with a cry. And that's what I hear in this meeting tonight and in the church. And if I may just share just prophetically just something that I saw as we were worshiping. I just saw in the spirit, as it were, just a bunch of people with bare feet. And it was like lined up at the back. There were shoes. And what I believe the Lord is saying is that he has prepared the shoes that you're going to be shod with for the gospel of peace. And he was going to do the shodding. He was going to do the fitting. And these weren't shoes that could come on and off. Because the armor is not something that we should take on and off. It's something we should, you know, sleep with. Amen. Once you put the armor on, you don't take it off. But what I sensed is God, there's a preparation that God is doing here at this moment in time. These are days like the sons of Issachar who know the times and the seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. And I just sense that this is a congregation like the sons of Issachar who know what Ireland ought to do. Amen. And I just sensed also that, you know, with these shoes, they were going to be like it was for release to run. And I just saw people running out, running across the land, running across the seas with swords in their hands, with a message of hope and doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. Because I want to say that, I mean, I would recognize Noel in an apostolic sense in the nation. Apostles are those who pioneer. They're ones who break new territory. But I would also sense that this is an apostolic congregation. The word apostle means to be sent. And I believe God is commissioning and sending out runners with an end time message, a kingdom message that takes no prisoners, doesn't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. So let's just pray before we get into the word tonight. I think we talked here about impartation. And you know, I, for one, am probably sick and tired of instruction. The Bible says you have many instructors, you have few fathers. And my prayer tonight would be is that God would impart something of his grace to us tonight. Grace is his enabling power to do what you cannot do in your own natural strength. That's what grace is. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for passionate people. I thank you for good-hearted people who love you, O God, and love others, O God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're looking for a bunch of people just like that, that you can impart, Lord, your grace to, your blessing, that you can do, Lord, the extraordinary through them, O God, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're sharing tonight the second part of advancing the kingdom through signs and wonders. And the scripture that maybe we can just turn, I don't know if the guys got that on the overhead there or the PowerPoint, but the scripture is, the key scripture here is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. Let's go. Maybe you can just get that for us on the slides there. Praise God. Praise God. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Not just talk, but in power. And I think one of the critical things that we need to see in our day is to take the promises and the principles that we find in God's word, which we've talked about, which we've heard about, but they need to be applied and released. Amen. And let me say this also, that, you know, I believe what God is wanting to do is to raise up a grassroots army. It's not just, you know, the big name. It's not just the Benny Hinn and the big superstars who can move in signs and wonders. I hope that's not controversial to say that here. But God wants to use ordinary men and women. Because the scripture tells us that, you know, these signs shall follow those who believe. If you're a believer tonight, these signs should follow you. In my name, in the name of Jesus, cast out demons. In my name, lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover. In my name, you know, you shall drink any deadly poison, and it shall not harm you. In my name, you shall speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. These are signs that follow believers. It's part of the Great Commission. It's part of the equipment that God gives us to reach the world. Hallelujah. Now, we may not always understand it. It may not make sense to our logical brain. But I can tell you, God knows in heaven what each individual needs. Hallelujah. And we so often get caught up in trying to analyze the principles of God, the Word of God, that we analyze it, the faith out of it. We just got to begin to surrender. Just as we sung, I am yours. Okay? Surrender. Surrender and trust the Lord that He will use you in the way that He sees fit. Praise God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is not merely in word, but in power. Hallelujah. You know, when we preach the kingdom of God, you know, immediately it puts us in a direct opposition to the kingdom of darkness. You know, if you stand for Jesus, that means you stand against all that the devil stands for, all that his kingdom stands for. You see, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness, we're all familiar with. We're all born in sin. And sin is the entrance to the kingdom of darkness. Just as the cross is the entrance to the kingdom of God. Sin is selfishness. The cross is sacrifice. It's surrender. Hallelujah. And as you enter the kingdom of darkness, of course, it breeds discord. It breeds disharmony. It breeds pain. It breeds guilt and shame. Uncleanness. Those are the aspects. Those are the characteristics of the kingdom of darkness. It's not a healthy place to be. But the kingdom of God, we know, is a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of restoration, forgiveness, new hope, fresh starts, transformations. And friends, there's no limits to what God can do. Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the good things He has in store for those whom He loves. But these things He reveals to us by His Spirit. And friends, there's more. There's more. More. More of God. More of His power. More of His glory to be seen upon our land. And He's wanting an army. He's wanting an army. Men who will be men. Women who will be women. Fearless. For the kingdom. Not namby-pamby. But fearless. Hallelujah. You know, I think sometimes church, I know you all have seen Dad's Army. I was just thinking there, sometimes churches are like Dad's Army, the home guard. Just trying to, you know, do enough to keep the devil at bay. But they're not the real army. The real army is engaging. The real army is taking territory. It's doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. And that's what happens when there's kingdom preaching. There's a clash. And we see that in the ministry of Christ as he began to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Demons would be stirred up, and there would be a contest, an encounter. And Jesus, this is what it says. Praise God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, part of it says, "For this reason the Son of God was manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one." I heard somebody praying tonight against suicide. How more evil, how more destructive is suicide? And how much more does Jesus want to destroy that work tonight? Depression, guilt, shame, sickness, cancer, whatever it is, those things come out of the kingdom of darkness, and he wants to destroy them. That's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of darkness. And you know, that word "to destroy" is an interesting word. It's in, if you have any Greek scholars here, it's the word luo. And the word luo literally means to destroy beyond all repair. You know, you can knock down a wall, and you know, the bricks can be all down there, and you can rebuild it back up again. But this word is not just a partial destruction. It's an obliteration. It's an evaporation, so it can never be rebuilt again. The same word is used about the wall of hostility, the wall of separation between man and God that Jesus tore down through his death and resurrection. He came to destroy that separation, that enmity, that hostility. Hallelujah. And it's also the word that's used in Matthew 16. "Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Hallelujah. Whatever you destroy, obliterates on earth in terms of destroying the works of darkness, will be done from heaven. Hallelujah. And whatever we bind, we say no to. Hallelujah. That's the meaning of it, is permitting and releasing. Praise God. And hallelujah. We see that in the word today. Amen. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 12, we see an interesting story there. Jesus has just healed a man who was mute and deaf. He was demon-possessed. He was demonized by a deaf and dumb spirit. And Jesus heals him. He sets him free. And then we see the first reaction to that miracle was cynicism. There was the cynical religious came and began to come against Jesus and say that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub. And Jesus says this in Matthew 12, 25 to 28. He says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." Hallelujah. "Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. In my name, you shall cast out devils." That's a scary thought. Most people wouldn't even dare to consider taking authority in the name of Jesus. Yet, friends, it's something that is applicable to every believer. And friends, you know, so much of what we experience in terms of turmoil and heartache and pain is because we are too scared, too frightened to actually exercise the things that God has given us, His name, His authority over the world and over the works of darkness. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you tonight. And I think it's been said here tonight that this is an equipping and an impartation. That you won't be backward and coming forward where it comes down to exercising authority in the name of Jesus. You begin to war, you begin to engage the enemy and not be the home guard, but be the SAS. Is that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see that the signs and wonders were really something that Jesus, he was very intentional about it. When he, on that 3.5 years that he spent on earth with his disciples, the one thing he was doing was he was imparting something to them. He was training, he was equipping them for work. And we said this morning that his method of training was very simple. It was fourfold. First, it was, I'll do, and you watch. And then it was, we will do it together. So he engaged them, got them participating in the miracles. Hallelujah. Some of us need to begin to engage and get participating in the miracles, in the signs and wonders, praying for your neighbor, praying for your family, praying for your children. You've all got tongues. You can write, some of you, use it to the glory of God. Hallelujah. The third element was he sent them out, first in 12s and then in 70s. And what did he tell them to do? He says, go and preach the good news of the kingdom. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. That was his strategy. That was his evangelism strategy. Go in. Pray. Exercise spiritual authority. Bless. Be a blessing. Hallelujah. And that's what he's calling, I believe, the church. He wants to release that, I believe, again. Amen. Hallelujah. And then finally, in the Great Commission, he simply said, go. Go. You watch, I'll do it. We'll do it together. You go and come back and feed back and then go. Hallelujah. And friends, I want you to understand that, you know, this can be just a nice little meeting. This can be very theoretic. But that's, if that's how you come away from this, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. Jesus wants to release you so that you can pray for the sick. You can exercise authority in the name of Jesus. You can do these things. Hallelujah. Because you have Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that Jesus, you know, went about healing the sick, casting out devils. He operated in signs and wonders. It was one of the things that punctuated his ministry. It was one of the things that, in essence, caused people to sit up and take notice. And I think it's John Wimber that says that the works of Christ were punctuated. The words of Christ were punctuated by the works of Christ. So when Jesus said something, what he would do is he would back it up with demonstration of signs and wonders. Friends, Jesus is the one we follow. He's our model. Hallelujah. And I believe there is a paradigm shift. There is an ejection from the seats of comfort that God wants to bring us into another level, amen, of authority. Praise His name. Praise His name. You know, I remember listening to the story of Reinhard Bonnke. And some of you know, I know Noah was saved under Reinhard's ministry in 89, okay. Praise. I know it's the National Stadium. I thought I was there. But Reinhard wasn't always a well-known evangelist. He wasn't always a man who moved in signs and wonders. In fact, there was a time where he was a small-time pastor in Africa. And the story he tells is that he thought to himself, I want to see, you know, the city touched. We'll have a crusade. So he advertised, I'm not sure if it was called the Fire Conference, it could have been, he hired the local stadium. And, you know, there was a lot of advertising, a lot of effort went into promoting, and he was bringing in a big-time evangelist. And so, you know, everything was prepared, and came the night for the crusade. And Reinhardt was chirpy, but next minute there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door, and there was the evangelist with a suitcase in his hand. And Ryan looked at him. He says, what are you doing? The man says, the Lord has spoken to me, and I'm to leave. And Ryan said, what? You know, you can't leave. You're the speaker. You're the one that we've advertised. And the Lord has told me I must leave. So, you know, he tried to persuade him, but that wasn't going to work. And so he got into the taxi, and off he went. And so Reinhard Bonnke, he's there. He's waiting. He says, God, he's pacing up and down, praying. God, what am I to do? Who's going to speak? Who's going to preach? He says, I can't preach. I've never done that before. And this is what the Lord told him. Lord told him. He says, Reinhard, my word in your mouth is as powerful as it was in the mouth of my son Jesus. It's the same word. My word in your mouth is as powerful as it was in the Son of God. It's the same words. You see, friends, when you declare the word of God, when you pray the word of God, you're praying the word that spoke the worlds into being. You're praying the word that opened blind eyes, that spoke wholeness and forgiveness and healing and deliverance over many, many people. Hallelujah. It's the same word. It's the same eternal word. You see, the kingdom of God is the powers demonstrated over sin. Jesus declared to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. He declares over you tonight, your sins are forgiven. Wiped clean. You are cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Guilt and shame have no longer any power over you. Hallelujah. He spoke. And the demoniac was set free of legions of demonic tormentors. Hallelujah. One word from Jesus can set somebody free. I remember a young woman come when we were in Thomas Street a number of years ago. And this young woman had been involved with a young man who'd been involved in some crazy stuff, some weird stuff. Satanic, as weird as you can think, he'd been involved. And she'd got involved with him. And through that involvement, suddenly, she was starting to hear voices. She was starting to feel suicidal. She was starting to cut herself. And it could be drawn back to that relationship, when she entered into that relationship. Well, I'm not a clever person, but I know that there's often significance in those things when you open a door and then things begin to happen. And so we simply prayed with her. And I remember that young woman, you know, manifesting just demonically. She was a lovely looking girl, a slim girl, and this demonic voice came out of her. Ugly. But you know, she was set free. The power of God set her free. Hallelujah. And you know, we've just got to begin to recognize that our battle is not always flesh and blood. Okay, it's not always your government. It's not always the boss. It's not always your circumstance. But sometimes behind it all, there's spiritual things pulling the strings. And we need to begin to exercise that authority in the name of Jesus. He spoke and the woman with the issue of blood was healed. Amen. He spoke and the seas were still. He spoke over nature. And things began to take place. Miracles, interventions by the Spirit of God. And then he called out Lazarus from the tomb. Now notice again, when Jesus prayed for people, he didn't go through lengthy prayers. He would often just declare wholeness or healing or deliverance over people. And I, you know, would say to you, you know, when you begin to pray for somebody, just pray, you know, be made whole. Receive forgiveness. We sang that song, amen. Pastor Noel said, receive. And we need to receive that forgiveness or that word from God. Amen. That wholeness, that healing. Praise God. So the words of Christ were always punctuated by the works of Christ. Hallelujah. And we see that, you know, signs and wonders were something that was really commonplace or normal practice within the early church. It was normal practice within, you know, the Celtic church. I didn't get a chance this morning to go through some of the miracles that Patrick conducted, if they were to believe all of the ones that, but in my research, I counted 31 people raised from the dead. An encounter Elijah-like on Tyre, where there was that contest between the Druids and the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. The kingdom of darkness tried to, or the Druids tried to levitate, or so the story goes. Patrick said, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I trust in the name of the Lord. He rebuked him in the name of Jesus, the fellow fell to the ground. Demonstration of the power of God over the powers of darkness. I could go on, you know, there's St. Bridget who turned water into beer. Those holy wells. Maybe it's the origin of gifts, I don't know. But many of the Irish saints and scholars, not only did they preach and teach, but they demonstrated through signs and wonders. It's part of who we are. Amen. And of course, we see it in our African and Asian nations where, again, there isn't that, we talked about the excluded middle where there's, it's like we have one little box in which we put miracles and we put, you know, signs and wonders and, you know, all the things that happened there, all the historical things, the revival. We sort of put them in that little box. And then we have, you know, in this little box over here, we have all the scientific material world that we live in. And in the middle, in the no man's land, is where most of the church is. And somehow, those walls need to come down. Those walls need to be broken. Because there is no war. There isn't, you know, the separation. There's the kingdom of God superseding the kingdom of darkness. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. You know, we often think of that in terms of, you know, a flood of evil and, you know, the Spirit of the Lord just stopping. But I've heard one rendition of it going like this. When the enemy comes in, comma, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it, or like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard. Where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. You know, in Matthew 16, we're told of, it says, against the church, the gates of hell will not prevail. And many times our concept of that is this, is that it's the church prevailing against the gates of hell. But friends, it's the gates of hell that should not prevail against the church. You see, when we're moving in the authority and power and the glory of God, when we're taking what God says and not just hearing it, but implementing it and moving in it, look out. Hallelujah, gates of hell. Look out, darkness. Here comes light. Look out, darkness. Here comes light. Look out, Dublin. Here comes liberty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got a few other things I might sit here, but I'm going to move on. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there needs to be a paradigm shift in the way we do church and the way we think of the kingdom. Bill Johnson has some interesting quotes here. He says, "We no longer make up excuses for powerlessness because powerlessness is inexcusable. When you've been given the Spirit of God, you lose the privilege of claiming, 'I'm only human.'" Isn't that an excuse? Well, I'm only human. This is the way I am. That's a cop-out. And I'm trying to eliminate any cop-outs tonight. Hallelujah. He goes on, he says, "It's unnatural for a Christian not to have an appetite for the impossible. It's unnatural. It's abnormal. It's aberrant not to have an appetite for the impossible." What are you asking God for tonight that's impossible? When was the last time you asked God to provide a miracle, a sign and a wonder, something outside the box? We need to ask. We need to desire with all our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Some keys just to moving in signs and wonders. We've talked about kingdom authority. And I believe that, I won't labor that tonight for time's sake. But kingdom alignment is important. You know, aligning our will with God's will. I think it was Watchman Nee that shared the illustration of the two lines in a railway track. One is our will and one is God's will. And sometimes our will, if it's not aligned with God's will, if it's going off track, if it's going, deviating down its own independent, rebellious, selfish way. The train can only run where there's two parallel lines. And the glory of God is similar, friends. God won't twist your arm. He's not going to, you know, twist your will. But when we pray that prayer, "Thy kingdom come and thy will be done," what we're saying is, "God, I am choosing to surrender my will and line it up with your will so that what you say is what I will do." I may share a little bit on this tomorrow, but the Lord spoke to me there just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we all make New Year's resolutions. And I'm no different. You know, I want to lose a bit of weight and take the bubble out, you know, the same preacher on the level, because I've got the bubble in the middle. I want to pop a few bubbles. And so, you know, we make a commitment. But what the Lord said is commitments, there's a difference between commitment and surrender. You see, a commitment we've still got control over. I can choose to leave my commitment, you know, in history. But when we surrender, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. And you know, we need to surrender. If we desire to move in signs and wonders, if we desire to have the maximum, that God has for us. It's going to take more than a commitment. It's going to take surrender. Because the entrance to the kingdom is always via the cross. It's always via surrender. We don't enter the kingdom unless we surrender. So you want to move in signs and wonders. Pride has to be let go of. Maybe your analytical mind, not your mind is good, sanctified and good, but maybe that overanalyzing needs to be let go of. Maybe that fear needs to be addressed. Hallelujah. And God fill you with His boldness. Hallelujah. Kingdom authority is a key. Kingdom alignment is a key. Kingdom accord is also a key. You know, the old enemy, his strategy isn't particularly clever. It's just divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Now, if he can keep Christians apart, within churches or between churches, he's happy. Because there isn't the authority, there isn't the power. And, you know, we've heard it time and time again. What I was doing in the U.S. was with Doug Norwood and Broken Jars. But they work trying to bring churches together in order to change spiritual atmospheres. Because when the body of Christ begins to join together in genuine, authentic unity, the Lord commands the blessing. Hallelujah. But the gates of hell will not prevail. You see, it's not against an individual ministry. It's not against an individual Christian. It's against the church that the gates of darkness will not prevail. So kingdom accord is so important, and I know you guys are part of Dublin Arise. Kingdom attitudes are important. This morning we talked about the presence of God. And friends, we need the presence of God to operate in signs and wonders. Here's how I see it. I remember some years ago watching a sports program in Australia, and it was the Ironman contest. Now, the Ironman contest is the lifesavers, and they have one of the legs of the competition is the surfing leg. And I watched this program, and what I saw was all these surfers and quite a number of them, like there was young novices and there was the experienced guys. And when you see the start of the gun go off go the novices. And they're just, you know, going like mad, going like crazy, paddling like crazy. And you see them shoot out way in the lead. And then you look back and you see these experienced guys. And they're just paddling away quite relaxed, and you think, what's going on? How are we going to catch up with these young guys? There's streaks ahead. And then that what happens is they turn around, there's a marker, and they turn around the marker, and these young lads are just going for it, and then the more experienced guys, they do something unusual. They stop. And they simply wait. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And you're thinking, this is crazy. This does not make sense. Are they trying to lose? And then you click. You understand what they're waiting for. See, they're waiting for the wave. And when they catch the wave, they accelerate past all those who've been paddling in their own strength. And you see, we need to be chasers and pursuers of God's presence. And there are certain kingdom attitudes that will attract the presence of God. Humility is one. Humility is basically saying, God, I'm not an expert. God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I need your power. I need all that you've got for me. That's humility. The Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Grace is, as I said before, it's God's ability to do in you what you can't do yourself. Amen. Hunger is another attractor, magnet to the presence of God. So is holiness. And by holiness, I don't mean being prudish. I believe holiness is more joy, more love, more light, more like Jesus. That's holiness. Holiness isn't withdrawal. Holiness is advance. And these qualities, these characteristics are spiritual warfare. They're advance the kingdom. The final attitude I'd suggest is the one of honor. Honoring one another. Honor is something you give. It's not something that you necessarily earn. You give as an act of grace. You honor somebody. Amen. As a brother and sister in the Lord. The Bible tells us to outdo one another with honor. And when there's honor, there's an atmosphere for signs and wonders. You remember Jesus when He came to Nazareth and there was dishonor? The very opposite was true. It said because of a lack of honor, He could not do many miracles. But where there is honor, there is an atmosphere for the supernatural. Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Risk is an ingredient in moving in the supernatural. Okay, you will never, ever operate in signs and wonders or miracles without taking risk. We may as well seal it now. Noel asked me just to share a recent healing that we had in Westport. This happened probably almost 18 months ago now. And we had a man come into the service in a wheelchair. And we had a speaker in that night. And this man was determined that he was going to be healed. And he got his wife to wheel up the wheelchair. And of course, you know, here am I. What's going through my mind is I've never prayed for anybody in a wheelchair and seen come up in the wheelchair. So I'm thinking, God, I'll bless him. I'll play it safe. I'm being very honest here. This is not, I'm no man of faith, paste and flour. But he was determined. And what he'd done is he'd taken the story of Bartimaeus and he'd scratched out Bartimaeus and he'd put his own name there. And so he began to cry out. He was wanting to be healed. So we picked him up. A number of guys picked him up. And he'd had a stroke 2 years previous, but also been in a car accident, so he had pinched nerves in the back, and so he was crying with pain. And again, my mind is going, I'm hurting him. I'm making it worse. I'm not helping him. So we set him down. Nothing happened. But he still wanted to be healed. So we picked him up a second time. And this time I thought, right. Fear, go. And I just grabbed him and I hugged him. I began to pray for him. Began to pray and speak the word of God upon him. He yielded. The Spirit of God hit him. He began to shake from head to toe. Shake uncontrollably. We sat him down back in the chair. And then the first time in 2 years, there was feeling in one of the legs. And he was overjoyed. I mean, he was really, really just chuffed. He had feeling in one of the legs. So I thought, okay, God, you're doing something. You're up to something here. You want to do something here tonight. And so we picked him up a third time, and we began to pray. We prayed for him, and then we sat him down the third time. And by this age, you know, there was no music. No, this was the end of the service. And there was just the church in Westport. We were all just around him and just praying. And next minute, he leaps out of the chair. And he begins to sprint around the church. Now, we hear of things like that in Africa. We hear of things like that in Asia. But we don't expect it in little old Ireland, let alone Westport. But friends, there is no explanation for that. There's no scientific box that you can put that and somehow, you know, try and say it was power over the mind or whatever. God help me. It was an unequivocal miracle of God. An unequivocal miracle. Now God wants to accelerate that. God wants to release that. He wants to do it through you. Amen. Hallelujah. My last point here. Three principles in moving in signs and wonders. I'm going to share maybe just my own personal walk here, because there was a time I was incredibly fearful. And I used to suffer actually from panic attacks. So the idea of talking in front of people was my worst nightmare. I'd fail courses in university where I had to give seminars or talks because of panic attacks. And I remember early on in the ministry, God began to challenge me, because I had a call, and yet the requirement is you've got to preach. You've got to talk to people. And I remember God spoke to me through the story of Peter walking on the water. And for Peter and the other disciples, you know, when they saw Jesus walking on the water, you know, they were scared. They were frightened. It's a ghost. And, you know, the boat, in a sense, represented their security. It represented just their comfort zone. And for me, that boat represented my natural reserve, my personality that was probably reticent rather than extrovert. And God began to speak to me three components of a miracle. One is, and he put it in percentage terms, and this is not necessarily theological, but I think principle is true. 98% of our miracle has already been done for us. And that is through the Word of God. God's Word in your mouth is as powerful as it was in the mouth of Jesus Christ. He was the Word made flesh. When Jesus spoke, things happened. Your miracle, 98%, is already done. It's already found in the Word. The promise of the Word is there. It's a quick and powerful two-edged sword. Hallelujah. 1% is our faith. The Bible says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you should say to this mountain, moved and cast to the sea. Hallelujah. I used to think you needed a huge faith. But all you need is a little bit of faith to use the little you've got, to take the opportunity to pray, to speak. But the final percent is the risk one. It's the risk factor. Hallelujah. And that's obedience. You see, you can have the Word, and you can have the faith. But unless you step out of the boat, you're not going to see the miracle. You can know the Word of God. You can have faith so as to move mountains. But unless you do something, it's wasted. And many a miracle has been wasted because we haven't stepped out. We haven't understood that need to use risk. Hallelujah. Now, I don't mean by that recklessness, but I mean when God speaks to you, when you know that God has given you a clear word to share or do, amen, and you step out, amen, that's when you're going to see the miracle. Praise God. Let's just pray tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to do something. Just feel that we need to receive God's grace. To do the things that He wants us to do. So I just want to invite you to stand. Don't want to, that's absolutely fine. I'm not mandating that. But just a prophetic act. And maybe just if we could just lift our arms as a symbol of surrender. So we're saying, God, I want to enter into your kingdom for such a time as this. I want to begin to move in the grace that you have for me. And Lord, I'm yours. I am yours. I belong to you. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, washed in His blood. And Father, I pray tonight for a fresh impartation of divine grace that will release miracles, that will flow through fingers, that will speak through tongues in the name of Jesus, that will do damage to the kingdom of darkness like never before. I pray for release from fear in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I just feel maybe just one other thing, if I can indulge you. Maybe just turn around and pray for the person behind you. You know, the Bible says, freely we've received, freely give. Hallelujah. And what I want you to do is I want you to pray for that person. And that person has need. Pray God's blessing. Pray God's healing. Pray God's impartation. Pray God's release. Pray God's favor. Pray God's forgiveness. Pray God's liberty. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Urabasarabai. Kiromasiriandarabai. Rundarabasirianda. Kiriandarabasia. Rundarabai. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, use your body as instruments of healing, of instruments of glory, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some here that have been stuck because of certain issues that have happened in your life. God is wanting to set you free tonight. Free to move on. Free to experience more of what He has for you. Free to change your destiny. You've been around this mountain too long. God wants to set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mighty, mighty, mighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise up an army, Lord. Lord, rouse the warriors, oh God. Rouse up, Lord, the passion. Rise up, Lord, rouse up the passionate, oh God. Lord, my God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus.
Amen. More, Lord. We just say, Lord, increase. Just increase the prophetic right now, Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Release, Lord God. If you are sick in body, ask that person right now to pray. We just release healings, Lord God. Be whole, be well. Sickness be gone in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, O God. Amen, Lord.